We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Adam Silver coming down hard on the potential betting scandal in his sport. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Adam Silver yesterday, the commissioner of the NBA, talking about Jonte Murray. He was the member of the Toronto Raptors, Perloff, who you'll remember the story. Two different games where Porter had prop bets that were heavily bet on him, where he took himself out of the game. Yes, Jonte Porter. He had prop bets that were the most bet on props of that night in the NBA. A random player for the Toronto Raptors, who's a two-way G League player. All of a sudden, people are trying to bet $10,000 and $20,000 on whether or not he's going to hit a three-pointer in the game. That he took himself out of two different games. One because he said he had an eye issue. The other because he said he had the flu or was feeling sick. Right. So this is obviously a massive scandal. Because this would be a player potentially directly involved in the outcome of these bets and maybe by extension the outcome of the game. Adam Silver said yesterday it's the cardinal sin, what he's accused of in the NBA, and the ultimate extreme option I have, this is a quote, is to ban him from the game.
Yeah, no doubt you ban him from the game, right? If they can catch that he did this, like, it's over, right? He can never step on an NBA court again. Is there any other argument? Would anyone say he can come back from that?
Nobody was saying that he could come back, but I think that Adam Silver and the other commissioners may not be realizing here is that you can ban Jonte Porter for the rest of time. It doesn't mean that these things are not going to continue to pop up. And to think that, and I hope they understand this, that throwing the book at Porter for what he may have done, you are still setting up the same dynamic, especially in the NBA, and here's why. You have a lot of guys who are making tons of money. There's no reason for someone like Jaylen Brown, who's making $350 million, to ever do anything with a prop bet. But you will also, while you have the top of the food chain, you will also always have the bottom of the food chain. Right. And Jonte Porter, whose brother is Michael Porter Jr. from the Denver Nuggets, who the brother makes a ton of money, but even Porter, if he was doing this for the money, he's making $400,000. Really great living for a normal person, but for an NBA star, not so much. So you will always have guys who are at the bottom of the ladder who could be looking to cash in, and you will always find people who will put themselves in compromising situations. So yes, you can ban this dude for life. That's not going to potentially stop the next scandal from happening.
Right, but that doesn't change the reality that you have to ban him for life. I'm not sure, and I haven't heard everything that Adam Silver said, but clearly this is the first step, and you have no choice here. I mean, listen, Pete Rose is barred from baseball, and he wasn't actually we never caught him on the field, like, not running out a single. This is incredible. This is a huge transgression. I mean, everything we've seen in sports gambling, maybe the Temple Owls college basketball scandal is like this, but we haven't really seen or been able to prove that a guy sort of let off the gas on the court. That's obviously, I agree with that term, cardinal sin. That's the one thing that cannot happen. You cannot bet against yourself. You cannot bet against your own team. If that starts to happen, then the entire integrity of the sport, the thread starts to unravel. Yeah, this is a no-brainer. You got to come down as hard as you can. And it's funny, I'm totally naive here. I'm not quite as worried about the two-way guys. One, they don't have as big as an impact of the game as Jaylen Brown. And I think those guys do think about their future earnings. I mean, Jonte Porter making $400,000 this year.
Like that.
So the reality is he probably could have hung around the NBA and made that much money for 2 or 3 or 4 years. He was not made these prop bets. They're not that much money. There's no way he was making money anywhere near that off a prop bet that he was throwing for somebody. So I don't think you can make that much money. Maybe if you get in a hole because of your own gambling debts, you have to do something like that. But I think if the NBA comes down hard here, I just don't see this scandal happening again and again and again.
Oh, I do. I think that it's going to be whack-a-mole. And it's not going to be like all the time. But, you know, we do see a lot of betting irregularities. They get flagged. And
yeah, you see them now more. Right. I think that open betting and legal betting makes it easier to find those things.
Yeah, in some ways you could say, oh, this is like the system working, but I just don't think it's ever going to eradicate it, right? It's like you will go to jail for committing murder. It doesn't mean that people stop murdering other people. You know, the like deterrent isn't always work to keep someone from making a bad decision. And again, it could be a variety of reasons. Either it's the money. Maybe you're getting blackmailed. Maybe you're, you know, find yourself in a bad situation in debt with some gamblers. You have no idea. And there will always be people who are vulnerable who are ripe for this. And whether it's going to be in the college game, whether it's the men's side or the women's side, which we're seeing the gambling exploding on that side, or it's the pros. And, you know, for Adam Silver, also comes out yesterday and says at the end of the day, there's nothing more important than the integrity of the competition. And I would say, I think there is something more important. I think it's the money. It's the money that these leagues are getting from these gambling companies. I mean, right now, and we're part of it too, so I'm not saying we're not, but it feels like the sports betting industry is almost keeping, it's like propping sports up right now.
Yeah.
Because you have the sports betting is not just getting into the content or creation, but they're also maybe getting into, you know, they're in bed with every single league right now.
Right. I understand what you're saying, but that doesn't make what Adam Silver said untrue. Yeah, they're making a lot of money on it. The most important thing is the integrity. I think Adam Silver is aware. I mean, look what happened to boxing in the 70s and 80s. All of a sudden people were wondering, oh, is what I'm watching real? They have to know if there's any question about, is this real? The sport loses a lot of viewers really fast. That's how a sport becomes irrelevant. So I think they know that. All that being said, I also think you're right. They do want the money. It's very important. I agree with that propping up thing. It's been huge.
Yeah.
But they have to protect, you know, obviously what you're saying, I guess sounds okay in theory, but the bottom line is they have to come down on Porter. And I think players will notice that. I mean, nobody's going to be stupid enough to have this, the biggest prop bet on some, you know, bench player. I think any bench player who does that from now on is an idiot.
Yeah, but there are also like people who are trying to pull off these schemes, and we're talking about Adam Silver and coming down hard. He said he has the discretion to come down hard on Jontay Porter, who is a member of the Toronto Raptors, who it looks like was definitely involved with some prop bets made on him, and it was the unders coming in, and he took himself off the court. I really think that, you know, you could say you have to be like stupid to do this, but we've watched it over and over again in football where
right.
guys are still getting busted for this. Whether it's placing bets at the facility, whether it's, you know, placing bets on other sports when they're not supposed to be able to do that at certain times and places, and they're still making those mistakes. And then I have no faith that the people who are trying to place $20,000 on Jontay Porter and whether or not he hit two threes in a game in March, they'll always be idiots who are trying to take advantage of the system and maybe don't realize they're setting off an alarm bell about this irregularity, and they're just trying to cash in.
I get the sense that in the NFL, the players are way more aware of the gambling rules than they were 2 years ago. You don't think that they see what's happening here?
So Jameson Williams was suspended for half the year last year.
Yeah, last year. You think that guys aren't going to be more careful this year? I think they understand, even coming to the league, I think they understand this a lot more than they did. Calvin Ridley had no idea what was going on. He's like, I'm going to throw $1,500 of parlays on.
Yeah, put his own team in it.
Well, yeah, I mean first of all, everyone knows parlays are stupid because you're killing your odds, but that's not the point. I think that this is, obviously, Adam Silver has no choice. Bottom line, Adam Silver's got to get this guy off the court forever if they prove that it's true. And that's what you're going to do. I mean, you described it as whack-a-mole. That's the only thing they have to do. And what's different? I mean, 15 years ago, there was gambling. I mean, how many basketball scandals have we had?
I know.
Now, I think it's actually easier to catch guys.
Well, I thought the NBA really got away with how they swept the Tim Donaghy thing under the rug for the most part. I mean, that was a situation that could have toppled the whole sport. And they really got out from under it almost with, like, unscathed. Now, there's another part of, I think, the NBA that we're watching that is also, it's not the betting aspect of it, but you're talking about people having confidence in the sport. We talk about this with basketball a lot and also with football. The calls and how they've changed mid-season.
Well, they were open about that, though.
They said it, but again, this goes to show how much the league can actually manipulate the product on the field because of how they are messaging the referees to call the games. It was only earlier this season that you had games that were 155 to 145 and there was 30 foul calls.
Yeah.
And yet, 2 days ago, we have a game between the Bucks and the Celtics where there were two free throws attempted. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that also cuts to the integrity, because people think that the referees and the inconsistency with which they officiate, even with replay and all of that stuff, that they think a bad call is going to screw my team and by extension screw my bet.
I give NBA full credit. They were totally transparent about that. They came out and said no more James Harden fouls. They
In the middle of the season.
In the middle of the season,
that's
right around
crazy.
The All-Star break. They said, listen, we don't like the way this is going. I give them, if they're going to admit that we're, mostly it's just change. The NBA actually came out and said that we are changing the emphasis on offensive foul rules. Thank God, by the way, because yeah. I was so sick. I mean, Jesus.
But hasn't it swung the other way now where you're calling nothing? And who knows what's going to happen in the playoffs?
I'd rather have nothing than Luka Doncic throwing his arms into somebody and getting a foul. That was killing the sport. I really think that was killing the sport. James Harden would just eat up the whole 24-second clock and fling himself into someone in 2 points.
Yeah.
So I think this is a better system than the old system.
I just don't think there's this confidence. Like, Adam Silver can say, we're going to ban this guy, Jontae Porter. He can say, we're going to change the foul calls. I think that there still is
this
question about confidence, about what are you watching and how is it being manipulated.
But at least they admit when they're wrong. At least they have reports. I mean, the NBA actually has way more transparency in their officials than the NFL.
Okay, that might be true with those end-of-game things, yeah. But it doesn't go back and change the outcome. They just say, we got it wrong.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if the officials can find a way to advance these Los Angeles Lakers this year, then you
the
know
Warriors,
it was manipulated.
Lakers, yeah.
But you got to get AD on the court to do that. I'm not sure that the NBA is really in a crisis mode there. Yes, officials have a huge impact. You're absolutely right. But is there any reason to trust them less in the year 2024 than, say, 2015?
Well,
I think they're honestly doing better.
When now you're, like, the health of the league, right, and is also now tied in to the health of the sports books, yeah, then you are ultimately making some kind of compromise.
I mean, honestly, this was a league in 2004 through 2008. You had Tim Bianchi running wild. There was still tons of betting going on. I think it's honestly, I'm going to be a shill for the FanDuel and DraftKings of the world. At least, you know, they could track Jontae Murray over and unders this time. Who knows?
Jontae Porter.
Jontae Porter. Yeah. So I think that I think it's easier now to catch these guys. I think NBA guys are going to learn from this Jontae Porter story. He's the first one to do this. I'm sure other people are like, ooh, I should have tried that. But now they're not going to.
Do you think Adam Silver banning this basically G League two-way player is going to actually curtail future betting? I just think you're going to have these little scandals that are going to pop up, and it's going to be whack-a-mole. Perloff thinks that this will actually be a deterrent for guys in the future. 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you. This is like the day of conspiracy theories, sports conspiracy theories, not the dangerous ones, the silly ones.
It's actually not. It's the day of sports conspiracy theories dying.
No, I've got another one for you.
Well, I mean, obviously, I think the Shohei conspiracy kind of went away yesterday. I think Adam Silver's like, I'm going to put this conspiracy to rest. You could look at it either way. You could be whatever the one you're coming up next with. I'm sure there's a simple explanation.
You be the judge. Got another one for you. Another sports conspiracy. Someone crying foul on an NFL playoff game from years ago. Get you that in just a minute. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. All right, Maggie claims that there's another conspiracy theory out there today that I may or may not buy. I'm curious to hear that. What else you got, Maggie?
We're gonna get to that in just a moment, because Andrew Bogish has the sound that we need to flesh that one out. He'll be in here in just 1 minute. I'm glad that Ryan is here today. He's filling in for Pete. Because did you see, I know Ryan is a big, big fan of the Barbie movie. Yes?
Yes. When you say big fan, I'm not like a stan. Like, I'm not gonna, I can't quote it like that.
Got it. You were wearing a sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah. I have the hoodie.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of. It says, I am Knuff.
Yes.
Like, enough, but for Ken. For Ken and Barbie. And did you see Margot Robbie's next film? Her next project, now that Barbie is done.
She's doing something with toys or something. I forgot.
Yeah. Another Hasbro, or I guess like another toy company now, is getting Margot Robbie involved. It's going to be a movie about the game Monopoly.
Hmm.
How on earth are they going to make that interesting?
Like Mr. Moneybags?
I don't know, but it's going to be now. This is the new thing, guys. So, like, get ready. This is Mattel, who made a Barbie movie, to just, like, you know, ultimate crossover to goose their sales. So now Monopoly, who's owned by Hasbro, they're going to get a movie.
They're going to redo Clue.
Oh, I love that movie.
Shoots and Ladders. Where does this end? Trouble. Guess Who? I mean, what? We're just going to get a whole summer blockbuster, say Scrabble the movie.
Sorry.
Yes. Sorry for sorry. It's going to be insane.
There's a line in the last Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's in the trailer, so I'm not giving it away. A guy, a screenwriter, comes up to Larry and goes, yeah, the Larry David Show. He goes, yeah, I'm writing a screenplay based on the Waze app. He goes, that sounds exciting, right? And Larry goes, no, that sounds terrible.
We have no ideas. It's like, yeah, we need to go to Hungry Hungry Hippos the movie because we've got nothing original coming out. So let's all enjoy Monopoly the movie.
It sounds terrible.
We can't even play Monopoly in my family. And I think a lot of families are like this because there's always one person who takes it too far, is a little too competitive. This happened to you guys. I joined a family. This is one of my in-laws that I will not name. But I joined the family and I was told, if you think we're playing Monopoly around here, think again. We can't play because of XYZ. They're too competitive and it ruins the evening.
It's not, I don't have so much a Monopoly issue with someone being too intense. It's just a marathon. Right. That's the problem for us. Is
takes too long.
This is like, you know, an August, 1 p.m. slot at Wednesday for a Mets game, and it's a long game, a 4.5 hour affair. That's what it feels like playing Monopoly with my family. I have six, so we're doing the full four people. There's no, like, it's not
tedious.
It's tedious. It's just too much. We played it a couple of times, and we're like, oh, we're not doing this anymore.
So what games do you play instead?
Well, we're doing a lot more, we'll do a Connect Four.
Connect Four with six people?
No. We'll just, like, tournament style. Round robin style. Come on, like, keep up with me.
I was like, what do you need, teams?
we do a Connect Four. We'll sometimes do some board games, but I feel like a game like Sorry is usually a lot easier to get through. But the Monopoly, It's brutal.
What do you
Whenever
guys
I see
play,
someone
bro?
Pull out the board, I'm like, I'm not doing it.
I want to be in one of these Stewart Family Connect Four tournaments. That sounds crazy. Is there money
on
the
line?
My
youngest brother Henry will maul anybody.
But if you're an adult, you can always force a tie in Connect Four.
You want to know something actually funny about that? I didn't think this conversation was going to go this way, and I hope she wouldn't mind that I would mention this. She probably won't. But one of my very best friends was dating a guy, and he just wasn't that bright. And they were playing Connect Four. And at one point, she was like, do you know the rules? And he was like, I'm the best player in my family. Like, we got to break up. We can't have offspring together. Because, like, if you don't know how to play Connect Four, then this is not going to work.
Wait, what rules? one guy goes.
Exactly.
Try tic-tac-toe. Is that a little easier?
Maybe they needed to start with tic-tac-toe and work their way up.
Exactly.
But they couldn't date anymore because he didn't understand how to play Connect Four. No, he had a couple other things. He wasn't the sharpest knife.
Oh, we're big, what's the game? Scattergories and Taboo are probably our favorite games.
Love Scattergories.
Just look out because Margot Robbie is probably going to make them both into a movie.
Apples to Apples. Fine, too. You guys ever play Apples to Apples?
Yeah. You're excited. Margot Robbie, half naked, Scattergories, the movie.
Sure. Now, sounds great to me. Sounds like a hit.
Now, if you go from board game to card game, now Uno is the GOAT.
Honestly,
my head, Uno's by having
family,
a moment
among my friends. Yeah. I mean, high school Uno was like, you might as well have been playing for the high school basketball team. Like, these games were that intense. You're talking about slamming your Uno card down the middle of the table.
Wild cards everywhere.
You know, some physicality happening, some furniture moving, people not happy with some of the moves people are making. Uno is serious.
You can look in our couch right now, EJ. There are Uno cards hidden all over the house from where I was cheating my two kids.
Oh, my gosh.
You got draw twos?
If you don't lay off Uno cards in the furniture, you're not trying. I mean, that's facts. Or the same, you guys ever play the card game version? It's called BS. You guys play that game?
Oh.
It's Uno with cards where basically it's like, I have three threes. It's a form of basically like.
I think I played that way back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, Uno's so ripe for cheating. And you guys play with two or three decks? We have, we play with there's like a stack of 300 Uno cards.
That's fire. I never done that.
You can't just play with one deck.
Why not?
It's not enough to get through a big game.
You shuffle.
Yeah, you shuffle them up. I don't know. I've never played with more than one deck. I mean, that sounds awesome, what you're describing. I've never done that.
We bought an Uno deck recently. They usually come in two packs for
what
that
very. Do you have, like, a blackjack shoe that you're dealing out of?
The real question, though, with Uno is, can you stack plus fours?
Yes, 100%. You stack twos plus fours.
I
haven't played not at the same years, time, so I'm though. Not sure.
Not at the same time.
Throw at two plus fours at once?
Yeah, no. If someone puts a plus four, can someone say, all right, I add a plus four?
Oh, yeah. Does that match? Yeah. Then you don't have to take the cards?
Right.
Yeah, and that's eight cards.
Now it's plus eight. Next person has plus eight, and someone else has a plus four. Guess what?
Oof.
They got it now a plus 12. Do you have a plus four? That's... I've seen the Uno
this
Twitter.
This is the plot of Uno the movie.
I know. I've seen the Uno, plot of the Uno movie, plot of a murder scene. Probably.
Right. That's yeah. That's the
it
movie.
It leads to a movie. It's a Clue Uno collab that Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling
Uno,
are
there
do.
Will be blood.
And then Uno 2. This is going to be a franchise. There is actually Dose. Have you guys seen this?
Yes. Yes.
Dose the game.
I want to play Dose. I've seen Dose.
Is it just like Uno?
I don't know, but I know it exists. Anyway, this is what happens when Margot Robbie makes a movie about Monopoly, allegedly.
So she's the Monopoly woman? She can have a monocle?
Or what else could she be? The shoe? The top hat?
Or is she like Park Place? You're trying to buy her. She's the best property.
Well,
oh, I don't know.
It's a little dangerous.
The politics of that one.
little different message than, say, Barbie had. Now we're going the opposite.
She's covering all our bases.
Actually, you might
be able
to
the matriarchy than the patriarchy.
Pick her up on Ventnor Avenue, just like you did that woman in the kimono.
We actually left her there.
Honestly, after the show yesterday, when Bogus told the story about a bachelor party gone wrong because the stripper couldn't get her kimono off, we just go back to the office after this, and Perloff looks at me and goes, did he say kimono?
It was definitely some type of Asian robe.
Inspired.
Yeah, that didn't help either. What does that mean?
I had to Google kimono to know exactly what I thought it was, and I was right.
It's a robe.
Yeah, but it's like stuck in a robe.
And it's
like
a
beautiful print. Like it's not just a robe. It's not.
But
like
how do you get stuck in one?
I didn't ask her.
Now, that would be another thing for a stripper, is just like an old bathrobe. Here she comes with the slippers on.
Yeah,
and the
cigarette
bathrobe.
Dangling out of her, yeah.
Rollers in the hair. All right,
that's
guys, who's ready to
look.
Party? Yeah. Where's the bachelor?
Well, honestly,
where's the groom?
A Wednesday in October in Atlantic City, I'm sure that has happened more than once. So,
kimono caught.
And, so the game Monopoly, by the way, a lot of that is set in Atlantic City,
yeah,
right?
Definitely. Yeah,
or is the whole game?
I think the whole thing
the whole
is.
Well,
is
Park set. Avenue is Park Avenue in New York City, though, right?
No, but they call it Park Place. It's
Park different. Place and yeah. Broadway. Yeah, I don't
There's
think
no Broadway Monopoly.
Yeah, it's right next to Park Place, isn't it?
No, Boardwalk.
Boardwalk. Oh, okay. Whatever. There's no Broadway.
He's going to learn a lot from the movie.
That's why we need to have a movie, clearly. This is why.
Just like everything in your life is like a misfit version. You have a bad foot. You're going to a doctor with a weird hot tub. You're playing Park
Boardwalk,
Avenue
whatever.
And Broadway.
He's
Monopoly.
Also playing Dose instead of Uno. Hide the cards everywhere.
Sorry, I haven't remembered. Oh, I'm sorry. Why did you tell me every state then? If you're such an expert,
every state,
every city,
all
every
50
road.
Of them.
Yeah,
no, I just know that all of the boar is Atlantic City. That not with Manhattan Street sprinkled in.
So Park Place is a place in Atlantic City? I actually did not know that. Sorry.
Dilbo's saying Velcro stripper's best friend. He's right about that.
Yeah.
Zippers. Definitely. Velcro.
Yeah. The pros know about Velcro. She was new.
Yeah.
She still had snaps and buttons.
Yeah. She's still like putting in her hours. Like she's getting to be a therapist
she's
or something.
Apprentice, yeah.
Got 3,000 hours I got to put into this. Then I get certified. Headlines. We promised a sports conspiracy theory, Bogus, and I think you have it for
this
us.
This one is a doozy. It certainly feels often that the universe doesn't like the Chargers. Maybe one time their own offensive coordinator didn't like them either. Cam Cameron ran their offense back in 2006 when San Diego went 14-2, but then they lost a divisional playoff game at home to the Patriots. This is now LaDainian Tomlinson in present times on the Pivot podcast, which is co-hosted by former Dolphin linebacker Channing Crowder.
What job did he get right after we lost?
He came and be my head coach, and that is terrible.
So in my mind, did we just throw the game for a head coaching job?
So LT thinks Cam Cameron called a bad playoff game on purpose so the Chargers would lose, and he could then interview sooner for head coaching jobs, leading him to Miami. Specifically, LT says the Chargers should have run the ball more to protect an 11-point lead, but Cameron didn't call his number.
We have all had a chance to think about this stuff, process it, and the fact that, you know, someone gets it right after we lose, guys, I appreciate everything. You know, you guys play hard for me. I'm going to take this Miami job. What?
Yeah, what? I don't know, guys. This has zero legs. He was a bad head coach. Guys get jobs. Like, teams wait for guys that they want to hire who are coordinators, who are advancing right in the postseason.
But maybe he was worried that it was between maybe him and somebody else, and somebody else was going to get the job. Now, I know I'm prone to kind of believing these kinds of things, but I do think, not that maybe he would throw the game, but I do think the goal is to become a head coach. And the hiring is so messed up when it comes to the NFL. Now, they're trying to change some of those rules now. But the hiring is really messed up, where it creates a sort of urgency to get out of the playoffs almost just so you can get the job, right?
No.
Yeah, I don't, how many times we see teams just wait on the guy to finish whatever they're doing so that they can become the head coach?
I mean, listen, everyone knows the best
way.
The
Dolphins, they're not making these great decisions all the time. They make dumb decisions all
the time. Right, Cam Cameron went 1-15 for them, so they fired him for 1 year. He's just a bad coach.
Oh, no, I think the best way to get a job is to have an epic failure in a playoff game. I mean, what are you talking about here? You're saying, obviously, it goes against logic that the guy would screw up on purpose to get a job.
But the other thing, too, though, is this problem, and we'll talk about it in the next hour with another NFL player with a conspiracy theory, but there's a problem with these podcasts where guys go on there and they talk this talk and they don't back up their stuff with facts. Because, okay, yes, they were up double digits in this game. But guess what? The Patriots scored a touchdown to keep the game, a 4-point game going to half, and now you're 14-10 going into the second half. The Patriots get the ball back first and score.
And like, it's Tom Brady on the other side of the game.
This idea that, they were up 12 points in the fourth quarter and we're just throwing the ball all over the place is just not the case. It was, you had a momentarily 11-point lead for a short bit of time. They scored right before halftime. You go into halftime with a 4-point lead. That is not, hey, we sit on the ball for two quarters with Tom Brady on the other side and we don't throw the ball anymore. That doesn't make any sense. But these guys, they probably have these stories and they're missing key facts and key moments in these games that add context to it.
I think what he's talking about is, just going back to the game log here, is it's tied 21-21 with 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game, and LaDainian Tomlinson got one carry. Now, he had scored a touchdown in the second half already, so you know that the run was working, and he gets one carry on a 1st and 10 where he gets a 5-yard gain, and from what I can see, he does not get the ball again.
That's 4-minute drill, though. The idea that you go away from your running back, you start trying to move the ball down the field, is not crazy.
Okay, but you had plenty of time there where he's getting 5 yards a carry. That's pretty good, and you have 4.5 minutes left.
Yeah, but this could be pure incompetence. That's probably more likely explanation.
Maybe just made a poor decision. But I also, I don't see the scenario in this game where it was like, oh, it's very obvious that they made some insane gaffe and not giving LaDainian Tomlinson the ball. The idea that you're up 11 points for literally 2 minutes in the first half and then the Patriots cut it to 4 does not mean you're in a game where you can salt the game away.
No, they weren't salting the game away, but they did go away from the Hall of Famer on the team.
Right.
Which has happened a million times. I mean, welcome Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, went away from the run. Everybody goes away from the run under pressure. That's what good offensive coordinators do. And that's why they always
bad
lose.
Offensive coordinators,
I'm saying they always blow it. Like, that's the story as old
as
time.
Here's the thing. Like, good teams actually get the ball back with 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter in a tie game, and they salt the game away. Especially when you have LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, but if you're going against Bill Belichick, that is easier said than done.
Okay, but you don't give the ball back to Tom freaking Brady.
I'm just saying, yes, it was a mistake, but to this idea that he lost on purpose to get into the coaching interviews, that's crazy.
And they only had 3 plays. So you run the ball on 1st down. Okay, now you're 2nd and 5. You throw, you're incomplete. 3rd and 5. Am I running the ball on Dan Thomas on 3rd and 5 in my own territory? Probably not.
Well, in this day and age, you probably would.
Maybe, but this is 2006. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like Dan Thomas is taking 2024 energy and kind of skewed facts of what happened and making up an insane story. And Cam Cameron was awful. He's one of the worst coaches I've ever seen. I have no reason to defend that guy. But he tanked the game because he didn't run the ball more when they were only up 4 points or when they're in a 4-minute drill in a 3-and-out drive. What's he talking about?
Well, it is. I get it. It does. It is a little weird, though, to go away from LaDainian Tomlinson in that moment. But anyway, I digress.
Oh, my God. I'd like to see you say that in theory, but if you're an offensive coordinator in the playoffs, you have a lot of pressure to throw the ball at the
end
of the
game. Okay, then why on a gotta-have-it-everything-play, 3rd and 5, am I going Phillip Rivers to Eric Parker?
I mean, obviously.
In your gotta-have-it-play.
3rd and 5, there is not a coach in the NFL of all 32 who's not going to a pass play.
You're not running.
No, you go to a pass play, go to Vincent Jackson.
But that's my point, though. He's a terrible
coach. He might have been double-teamed. He might, listen. You can't, obviously.
And they were coming out of a timeout.
Every coach puckers up and goes to the pass in that situation. It's just what coaches do. You can't
well, maybe
hand
don't
the ball
go,
off at 3rd and 5 and get stuffed.
Well,
then
maybe
you'd
don't
be
go
idiot.
To the guy who's being defended by Asante Samuel, who broke up the pass. Guy's freaking awesome.
That guy's pretty good.
Probably one of the top 5 best players on the field that day.
But that's also not Cam Cameron's decision. I don't think the play was for Eric Parker. That's just who
Phillip
Rivers threw it to.
I'm saying, we're talking about Phillip Rivers always chokes in the playoffs, and Cam Cameron and North Turner. And we're saying, oh, how do we blow an 11-point lead to the Patriots? Maybe someone threw the game. No, how about you were playing with losers?
Yeah.
How about that? Is that possible? Phillip Rivers never went to the Super Bowl. Cam Cameron, worst coach I've ever seen in the NFL. North Turner, terrible NFL head coach. And you don't know why you lost to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
Should have gone to Tomlinson.
Can I also throw in that is 18 years later? Maybe bring this up before now.
He's been holding on to it. It's an old grudge.
Was he waiting on research? Like, what was going on?
I just love that Maggie's litigating Phillip Rivers' choice of targets on the play. A play that, by the way, you probably are not even watching the play. Who knows? He might have been wide open.
Yeah. Well, Asante Samuel broke it up, so he definitely wasn't open if Asante Samuel was there. Meanwhile.
I mean, come on. First of all, why would Asante Samuel be on Eric Parker anyway? That doesn't even make sense. Who knows what happened on this crazy play?
I understand. As soon as those chairs come through and those podcast mics come up and those cameras
Oh, yeah, you
got to
say stuff.
You're going to hear the wildest stuff.
Yeah.
This is how they really think. I think this is how players really think. You think LaDainian Tomlinson sat down and was like, I got to give the pivot something really good here. No, he's been thinking about this for a long time.
I see brothers sitting across from Joy Taylor and just say the wildest stuff you've never heard before. And I'm like, where is this coming from? You see these guys go on Club Shay Shay, we're going to talk about it now, and say stuff, and I'm like, this stuff is very verifiably false. Like, what are you guys actually talking about? We have history.
And there's never
Tomlinson,
pushback.
Just by the way, in this game, 23 carries, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. He was on fire in this game.
He's a monster. Yeah. He's the best running back I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I've ever seen. I didn't watch Barry Sanders.
I think also Channing Crowder, he ups the level of things you got to say, too.
Why? Because he's a nudist?
Yeah. Once you throw that out there.
I'm like in Karloff's brain. I knew where he was going with that.
But no, I also think, like, was Channing Crowder there for this one? Is he still on that?
Hopefully not.
Or is he a different podcast?
No, that was his voice in there about how terrible Cameron was.
Always, like, he totally brings it with something crazy every podcast. So you got to up your game.
You think LaDainian Tomlinson's trying to impress Channing Crowder?
Yes.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And I agree about if you're in that chair across from Shannon Sharp, now that after Cat Williams, you got to say something. Otherwise, what are you doing?
This
there?
Is the Oprah effect. It's was Oprah really a great interviewer, or were people just like so on their game?
Yeah, it's like Howard Stern. You bring out the dirtiest things that you would never tell any other interviewer. I think that's exactly what's going on. But okay, Maggie, I know you like sports conspiracy. This is maybe the dumbest one I've ever heard. Cameron blew the game.
It's just dumb enough to work.
The guy's name is Cam Cameron. He just makes dumb decisions. He wouldn't be smart enough.
His parents named him Cameron.
Cameron.
I mean, the genetics were not there.
You think Cam Cameron thought there was any chance in the world that he'd be brought up in a podcast in 2024? He probably sitting at home thinking like, what? He's probably fishing somewhere.
Where is Cam? Wait,
by the way, did Norv Turner not call plays for that team?
No, Norv came in after
later.
This.
Oh, Norv.
Yeah, was this Marty Schottenheimer, whoever.
Oh, Schottenheimer was still the coach, but you kept talking about
some coach. Marty Schottenheimer won a ton of games, but someone who didn't perform in the playoffs. Non-performer.
So Norv was still in Dallas. This was not Norv.
Not Norv yet, yeah.
It looks to me like...
Oh, Norv came in after Cam Cameron.
So Cam Cameron's... first name is actually Malcolm. His parents didn't name him Cameron.
That's actually
Cameron.
Worse than Cameron Cameron.
It's Malcolm Cameron, and he got a nickname like everybody around here. And it looks like he's got some kind of consulting firm. Well, they might be getting some phone calls today.
Probably sitting in some ivory tower office, not thinking he's going to hear anything. And he's got to answer questions now about whether or not he threw a playoff game from 20 years ago.
But I will find
he lost to Bill Belichick.
Any former running back, they always have a grudge that they were not handed the ball in a key moment. That's what running backs kind of do, right? That's their thing. How many times does LeSean McCoy complain? I don't know. That's just like what you do if you're a former running back. Say, man, if they just handed me the ball, we would have won.
And every game ends with this conversation. Either you ran it too much or you threw it too much. Like, every game has this thread in it. Every important game, too.
I know.
And we just did it with the Ravens. Why didn't they run Lamar Jackson more? There's always something
that's
like this.
That's true. Everyone does know, though, you can't give the ball back to Tom Brady. And you did. You knew that in what year was this, 2008? You knew that 2006.
Even 2006.
Still knew it then, too. Yeah.
Knew it then. Can't give the ball back to him.
But under a pressure situation, everyone knows you have to pass. Because
Eric Parker.
If you run the ball on a third and five, for example, and like you're like, oh, that's the worst. I don't think that's even an option. Obviously, I think Kyle Shanahan is the number one culprit all time at this, right? Not handing the ball off in the Super Bowl. Isn't that the worst case that we ever have?
Yes.
Atlanta, yeah, when they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Definitely.
Yeah, so.
Oh, you're talking about the Falcons. I thought you were talking about with the first time around with the 49ers.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that. Obviously, I think a lot of great offensive coordinators have made the mistake because there's nothing worse. If you're a fan of a team and it's a key play and you hand the ball and the guy gets stuffed, that's just the most deflating thing. So I get it. LT, stop. You just got to stop. That's ridiculous.
Do we have time for maybe one more quick headline?
Yeah, the big one this morning. Shohei Ohtani's former interpreter is reportedly working on a plea deal, federal charges for stealing millions from Ohtani. ESPN says the investigation supports Ohtani's claims that he is just a victim of Ipe Mizuhara. The New York Times says Mizuhara might have stolen more than the $4.5 million we had been hearing. Guys, back to you.
Doesn't it make you want to go to your settings on your bank account? I just wonder, because sometimes I get the alert, but maybe it's just the credit card. On the debit card or whatever, I might not get the alert.
I have a credit card alert. I don't really have much money in my bank account. I don't know if you guys are like me.
You don't walk around with a lot of cash.
Yeah.
But here's the other part. Does this ever happen where if you have a joint account with your significant other and then a charge comes through and it's something they bought? So this has happened before my husband. I hope he's not listening, but like there's been times when he's bought me gifts. And it will be from the joint account.
That's a bad move by your husband.
No, but
I never
like,
thought about that.
He's like, you know, so my birthday and Mother's Day are very, very close. And so like all of a sudden the flower like charges will start coming
so
up. He's doing the nice thing and getting me the flowers. Obviously he doesn't know that I'm seeing the alert. Sorry, honey.
Do you sell it rather? And you're like, oh my God, who could have thought I was just going to get flowers today?
I come in and it's like Oprah gave me a car. I'm like, my head explodes.
Yeah.
After all these years, I don't react that way to flowers, but I love getting flowers to my husband, so I always like it.
But by the way, your husband is a very smart man. I've met him many times. Now, he does not know that the alerts are going to you, and you saying that Shohei is on top of everything? I'm telling you, people do not watch their money, especially those guys, as much as you think.
My husband, the Ivy League educated engineer, he doesn't know that the charge is coming to me.
He's stupidly buying flowers? Like, come on, dude. And you think Shohei is $500,000? Shohei, how much is Shohei worth? And much more than your husband.
Well, that's up to you. My husband hit cleanup for the Boston Red Sox. I'm just kidding. If my husband is $700 million somewhere and deferred it for the next 10 years, I would get suspicious.
I thought you said you were going to divorce. I thought you were going to be like, this is over.
No, if my husband signed a $700 million contract and was like, but I'm deferring it for 10 years, I'd be like, wait a minute, what? What's up your sleeve? What's happening in 10 years? Am I out of the picture?
What if you look at the phone and there's a purchase for a $700,000 Lamborghini or something?
Yeah, right.
Have you really been hiding hundreds of millions of dollars?
This is like when the bank is like, is this you? Bought a $350,000 car? Like, no.
Yeah, my wife is like, I can't believe you went out there and bought the 2018 Honda Accord.
Under my nose. How dare you get a hybrid? 855-212. Thank you, Bogish. 855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do here. We'll put the conspiracy theories to rest if we turn our attention to the NFL draft. Is one team in the market for a quarterback that we weren't expecting. Get to that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right, let's get to our Cowboy Quickie for today. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Cowboy Quickie today. Adam Schefter reporting Cowboys are in the market for a quarterback. Could be one of the early rounds. So we're talking about maybe a first round, maybe a second round pick for the Dallas Cowboys for a QB. To me, first round has got to be off the table here. You're going into the final year, maybe with Dak Prescott, maybe with Mike McCarthy. You've got, you know, issues all around with who you paying. This feels like an all-in kind of year. I know Jerry said that and then the offseason didn't back it up. But once the games start, this is obviously a team that's a playoff contender and fancies themselves a Super Bowl contender. And don't worry, Jerry's message will pivot to Super Bowl as soon as we start getting towards training camp. To take a quarterback in the first round does not help you in any way. That's a future move. I don't think the Cowboys will do it.
Well, what about this year has said all in, nothing, right? The exact opposite. Every move they've made has said not all in. We're thinking about the future. I think if they're not going to re-sign Dak, what's the plan next year? Is it Trey Lance? Is their viable backup? Or is it this great quarterback draft? This is arguably an all-time quarterback draft. I think you're going to have six productive quarterbacks out of here. So, and I bet next year there's one first-round pick. So you got to do it this year, and 24 is a good spot. 48 or whatever the next round. Actually, I'm helping with the math here. What's the second round pick? That's a great spot. Spencer Rattler in the second round. Heck yeah. I think they're taking a quarterback in the first two rounds.
That's your Cowboy Quickie for today.
And the other option is they love Trey Lance. But Trey Lance, you're going to have to pay soon. So that's tricky, too. I mean, you have the same. You're not going to go from Dak Prescott to Trey Lance and then give Trey Lance $90 million. So I think it makes perfect sense here. Otherwise, what are you drafting at 24? They need linebackers, and what do they need? You don't take a linebacker at 24.
You need offensive line. You need linebacker. You need wide receiver. You could go, I don't know if you'd go running back in the first round is becoming a little bit more in vogue. I know people don't love it, but, you know.
This year, there's no running backs. That's not even an option. Yeah, no, I think this is a great time for them to, this is a perfect investment, right? I mean, if you're looking at the salary cap, if but don't Dak you is gone, you want a cheap quarterback.
I get it, but don't you want a body who's going to help you win games this year? I mean, I thought that Aaron Rodgers had a right to get upset about Jordan Love, the pick from 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
That worked out great, though.
Well, now, but it didn't, and he won MVPs and had this huge chip on his shoulder, but you're telling me that the Green Bay Packers couldn't have used a wide receiver there? They couldn't have used something else? I mean,
yeah, I'm telling you that right now, that was a very smart pick.
Well, because you're looking at it from 4 years later, what if they had taken somebody who could have been a difference maker and they're actually two-time Super Bowl champs with Aaron Rodgers?
I saw them
draft.
You were
so close.
Because I don't think the 28th pick or wherever they were picking is going to push you over for Super Bowl. Young players really don't make that much of an impact anyway. I mean,
not always true.
But sometimes.
Especially receivers can come in and have a big impact in the rookie season.
Yeah, who was the best receiver last year? Puka Nacua. He was a fifth rounder. So I just think that it's not, there's not guaranteed to take somebody in the 20s who's going to make an immediate Super Bowl impact. Remember, half the first round is going to be busts. I just understand. I think invest in quarterback is generally a sound theory.
This
and
is
you
like
get
they
such
should have already done.
Like
they did. Now it's like now you've got to take a quarterback maybe because you feel like you need to because you're out of options because Dak Prescott has you and has leverage over you in a contract negotiation.
That's true. But let me ask you this. I think this is our big difference. I think this is a rare quarterback class. And maybe I say that every year, but I feel like this is it. This is the time to go. I mean, you watch college football. Are there really that many guys like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix and Bo Nix coming up? I think next year it's going to be a cupboard. It's going to be bare.
Well,
it's going to be more like the Kenny Pickett draft.
You're not going to be able to get your hands on Caleb, Jaden, or Drake May, or even J.J. McCarthy if the mock drafts are correct. So now you're looking at Michael Penix or Bo Nix.
Right.
These guys have second and third round grades on them. They're not exactly, they might not be ready to go. I don't know.
Well, okay, if you have a second round grade on Michael Penix, why not take him in the second round? That's a high pick.
I still think you have someone who could contribute right away while you're, you know, no doubt having Dak start the season and play the season. Okay, you're welcome to weigh in on that at 855-212-4227. Cowboys, should they take a quarterback? Coming up on Thursdays at this time, we dive into the multiverse, a sports what could have been.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.